Hey, welcome to Intentional Living here at our center in Tucson, part of Family Life Radio and Intentional Life Media. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Steve and the rest of our team here, as we just focus on what does it mean to live an intentional life in Christ. Our mission is very clear: to help you experience your life, help you experience parenting, help you experience marriage, help you experience every area of your life the way God intended. And of course, first and foremost, is to experience that relationship with Him. And if you have that, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you in your life. And we want to come alongside and just encourage you in the process of facing the challenges that we all face with kids and grandkids here in this time of the world, right? And so today we're going to take some more questions we have coming in from listeners. And by the way, if you have a question for me, you're welcome to share it when you call 888-888-1717 and share that on our story line, our comment line, and we'll be glad to try to answer those for you. Steven goes through those and we'll bring him up on future shows. By the way, I failed to mention yesterday, and I want to mention today, that we need to continue to pray for all the families that were affected by that tragic plane crash that occurred in Washington, D.C. And I know many of our listeners, in particular in Kansas, where the plane left from Wichita, maybe families are being affected. And of course, it extends out to everybody who had some involvement in that whole process and that tragic incident in Washington, D.C. Earlier this week. So we need to pray for those folks. Okay. All right. Today we're talking about kids, relationship with kids, and how to be an intentional parent. And so let's get started here. We got a caller. No name, please, but I do have a question for you. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. This is Stacy. I just have a quick question about your show, in particular today with regards to respect. I am curious about dealing with a son who is in his teens, early teens, reacting to a father who commands and demands respect. So is it best to approach my husband as far as smoothing out that relationship, or approaching my son, or both of them? I have worked hard to respect my husband, even when my son is being disrespectful, even maybe for the right reasons. It sounds really terrible, but I hold my tongue and definitely support him for sure, my husband, that is. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thanks very much. No, bye-bye.
You're very welcome, and you did share. Thank you, Stacy, for sharing with us that question. And what happened here is that you're caught in the middle, and you feel like you have to be loyal to your husband and support him, and yet you want to help your son, and you're saying, hey, I'm kind of the referee. But even a referee at times puts people on the bench, you know, time out. They have to say enough, and there's a penalty call. To be really practical, I'd encourage you to go to your husband and say, you know, I feel like I've been dragged into the middle. And he's probably going to tell you, I didn't ask you to go there. You go there yourself. And just share with your husband how it hurts your heart, what you feel when you see certain relationship going on with he and his son, and be able to lovingly just put that into his court, into his lap. And the same thing true with your son. Basically, I'm telling you to resign from being in the middle. You've expressed it, and you need to pray, and you need to back off. But you get one shot to tell your husband, hey, listen, you get one opportunity here to have a great relationship with your son. And just my observation, doing this in private, one observation is the way it's being done now ain't going to work. That's my observation. I love you. And you give him a big kiss, and then you just back off and let him deal with that. And then you feel a little more freedom, okay? All right, I hope that helps, Stacey. Appreciate it. All right, let's go. Let me see. Brian is next, I think, with a question. Go right ahead.
One thing that I'm having a problem with is my oldest sister. After our mother died, she said that, you know, we needed to stay in touch better than our father did because he was just bad at keeping in touch. However, my oldest sister, who said that, is the worst at following her own advice at that. I'm the one who always has to reach out, and she never even tries to contact me. She has my phone number, she never calls me or even send me messages at all. So I was just curious what your thoughts were on that.
All right, Brian. I do have some thoughts on that. Again, this comes back to expectations. You have certain expectations of how communication is supposed to work. And then she even said, let's be better at communicating than doesn't communicate. And whenever expectations aren't met, it creates a dynamic that's negative in a relationship. It can be disappointment. It can be hurt. It can be anger. It can be a lot of different things. But when expectations aren't met, it creates a problem in a relationship. Bottom line, Brian, I would encourage you to take the high road. You're the one that picked up the phone and just say, that's the way it's going to be. If I'm going to have a relationship with my sister, she probably wants it, but she's just thinking you're going to do it. I would not let an offense create a distance, because that can happen in a relationship. When you allow an offense to create a distance, even the Bible tells us to be careful about picking up offenses, right? Because they're easy to do. And when we do it in a relationship, it can create real problems. I'm thinking really practically in my own family. I got two brothers. My oldest brother is now in heaven. He passed away this last year, and we miss him. But he was the oldest. And the history was basically that I would make most of the contact. He did. He would call me on my birthday. I'd always call him. We'd talk. But during the year, I'd be the one to kind of take the initiative. And that was okay, because we'd see each other and so on. I suppose if I stopped, I could say, well, no, wait a minute. I called the last two times, and now it's his turn. And I think when we start doing tit for tat, we miss the fact that underneath this, it's not a big issue. There's not a big, it doesn't sound like you got a big problem with your sister. In fact, she was the one that's saying, hey, let's do better than Dad did. Let's keep in touch. So she sounds like she wants to have a relationship with you. The fact that you have to be the one to pick up the phone, put on the big boy pants, you know, put on the big boy pants and give her a call.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We also believe that intentional living is a straightforward, easy to understand, biblical approach to life that results in transformation from the inside out. It leads to healed marriages, restored health, creativity, business growth, solved problems, and the elimination of debt. We believe that the words that we use here, family, your health, your finances, and your work, can become external evidence to an internal reality of the kind of growth that you're experiencing in your relationship with and your reliance upon Christ in your life. The world observes how our family operates, how we operate with our finances, the words that come out of our mouth, how we take care of our health. And these become the external evidence of an internal reality.
That's an excerpt from our featured lesson here this month on the power of intentional living, how it can impact your life, change your life. And it's not because it's some new, you know, kind of theory or philosophy of life. It's very biblical. God is a very intentional God. We're made in His image. And when we choose to figure out what pleases Him and do it, a whole lot of better things can happen in your life. I've seen it in my own life, and I want that for you too. And that's why we do what we do here. We always love your comments, though. 888-888-1717. Today, Talking Parenting.
Hi, my name is Marie. I just thank you so much for your program. I'm calling wondering about the overwhelming feeling I get as a believer to raise my kids just right, and the amount of information I have, like the books. Like, I feel like my house is just filled with so many wonderful books, but having the knowledge doesn't always guarantee the wisdom, and I get overwhelmed with the amount of ways to do things right. My bookshelves are just filled with all these wonderful Christian how-to books to make our lives more fulfilling and better, and just getting overwhelmed with choosing which one to do. And thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Take all those books, put them in one big box, and donate them to your local school. Now, if my book is in there, you keep that one, though, okay? No, I hear your heart. Your heart is, I got all this knowledge, now what do I do? And I think that's true. In many cases, we know what we need to do. We don't need more knowledge. We need more intentional living. We need more action. We need more follow-through. So let me simplify this for you and everyone else who tends to either be a procrastinator or a little ADD and easily distracted in a lot of different directions. Just ask yourself this question. And I wear a little wristband that asks me this every day. What one thing could I do today that would make the single biggest difference in what's most important today in my life? And if that happens to be your kids and you're struggling with wanting to do the right thing, just answer that question. Say, God, reveal from all those books I've read and from reading your scripture and from just hearing, you know, the truth, just bring that one thing into my head today that I know if I were to do for the next 30 days would have the greatest significant impact in the life of my kids, and then do that one thing. That's how we break inertia. That's how we get focused on what's most important in our life. All right? That's intentional living. That's why we're here. All right, back to the calls.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Julian. I'm a stepmom. I also have a son with my husband and one on the way. And my question for you today has to do with, you're talking about blended, or not necessarily blended, but dads who live outside of or away from their kids, and we're having some issues right now, not between my husband and I, but I'm having issues on whether on how to really support my husband. We've had some issues with his son's mother recently that he's four, and she's starting to teach him that it's okay to give daddy the silent treatment, and it's okay to be angry with daddy, that he doesn't have to forgive daddy. For instance, my husband works very, very hard, and his hours are not always the same, and he missed his last T-ball game, and he on the phone while they were talking, he told my stepson told my husband that he was mad at him for not going to the game, and which is fine, but my husband sat there and asked him if it was okay, if he could forgive him, and he said no. And my husband asked him, well, why not? And he said, because mommy's sitting here shaking her head no. And it's we deal with things like that all the time, but it's really heartbreaking to me to hear that, just because it tears up my husband. And my stepson is not a mean kid. When he's with us, he's amazing. But it's very, I guess I just don't know exactly how, what the best way is to support my husband in this, because I want to be there. I want to say, well, you know, she's not a Christian. She just is upset, and that's how she deals with things, and we'll just have to do the best that we can. But anyway, so any input would be really great, because this is happening more and more often, and I really don't know how to support my stepson or my husband in this the best way.
Yeah, I know. It sounds obviously you want to do that, Jillian, and yet it's in his lap. You know, he's got the ex-spouse, the mother of your stepson, and they don't have a good. The child's getting caught in the middle. This is so frustrating to me when I hear these stories, how two people who are adults can play games with the kid in the middle. Shame on people who do that. And I mean that. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's terrible. And so what would be ideal, and I'm not sure it can be, because many times there's been a divorce and the divorce was nasty and people don't talk and there's anger going on between the adults. It'd be nice if people could grow up and say, yeah, it didn't work for us, but we got to make it work for the kids, and sit down and do some, quote, co-parenting, which says we may not agree always, but these are four or five things that we're going to do. One is we're not going to disrespect each other. I will never say anything nasty about you to the child, because I want them to grow up and be respectful of you. As my son, I want him to grow up and be respectful of his mom and of women. And she's saying, I want them to grow up and be respectful of you. And I promise to keep the ball in your court. If you don't show up at his game and he's not happy, I'm going to tell him to go and tell daddy. Don't talk to me. Now, I'm giving the advice based on what would be ideal, but when that is not ideal, when that isn't what happens, rather, I always have two advice. One is to the extent you possibly can, encourage your husband to have a good relationship with his ex-wife. If he's got to bend over backward and be nicer than he wants to be and kinder than he wants to be and more forgiving than he wants to be, he's doing it for one purpose and two purposes. One is for his own spirit, and secondly, to have hopefully a better roundabout when she interacts with the son about him. And then secondly, to build your home in such a way that you don't allow that outside power to run how you're going to run your home. If your son, your stepson, his son comes into the home and says things like, I can't forgive, and mom tells me that, to be able to simply say things like, I'm really sorry to hear that, because, you know, forgiveness is something we need. In other words, don't get sucked into the power game from the ex-spouse, because that could be so damaging. I you know what? I wish I could just wave a wand and solve this problem. Less divorce, better communication, adults growing up and realizing that they have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of their kids. All right, let's continue on here. By the way, if you do have a question or comment you want to leave on our storyline, you can do so when you go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 is the phone number. All right, I think we have another question on this time on money. Hey, Jody, go ahead.
I am a single mom. I have a 13-year-old. I've been a single mom her entire life. I am a social worker, and I've lived on a very limited income, and God has just really been working on my heart about making changes to my finances. I have very bad credit because of the choices I've made. I'm also in debt for student loans to the tune of about $45,000. I do have hope. I know that God has given me a brain to use, and I believe that I'm going to be able to get even more frugal and wiser with my finances. I've already begun to see changes in just the choices that I make, but I would love your feedback. And if you know if there is any options for me in reducing that student loan debt, unfortunately, I've allowed all the loans to default, and I'm dealing with that as well. So, not a great financial situation that I do have. You talked about earlier the MAD. So I do have the attitude, and I have the mindset that it's time to clean up the wreckage of my past and move forward with a godly mindset about my finances. Oh, and I'm also not tithing. every time I start tithing, I end up feeling like I can't afford to tithe, and I stop.
All right, Jody, listen, you're not alone. A lot of people are relating to what you're facing. You made reference to MAD. For those who don't know what that is, it's a little acronym that I use, MAD, when it comes to money. First of all, you got to change your mindset about money or about anything you're facing. And then you have to change your attitude. The attitude is, well, I can't do it. It's over my head. I can't figure it out. Change your attitude. I can do this with God's help. And then make a decision and act on it. And in your case, by the way, I'm not an expert on how to deal with the student loan, but you know what? There are people who are, and I'd find them. You might want to contact an organization like Crown Financial Ministry. They're great people. They can give you some input. on maybe how practically to do it. But I do know this, I would get in touch with my creditors and I would explain where I am and see if you could put a plan together and find out if there's some reduction in what you owe or some payment relief. Man, everybody's getting relief these days. Maybe you can find some relief. But I'd be very proactive. I wouldn't just bury it and assume it's going to go away. Secondly, I'd put together a plan, a financial budget. And we teach the 10-10-80 tithing. Hey, if you can't start with 10, your faith isn't there, start with 1%. Just get started. Start trusting God step by step. Setting aside at least 10%. Learning to live on less than you make over an extended period of time. Some people can do that at 80%, 70%. But to learn to be disciplined in following that plan. Now, in a practical way, I know a lot of people who have financial problems who, when they really get serious about it, they say, you know what, if I got rid of some assets that I don't need, just get rid of some stuff. A car payment that's too expensive and get a cheaper car, emptying out the things in the basement or the garage that I could do at a garage sale and take that money and apply it to debt. Maybe I can take on some extra hours of work, everything going back toward debt. How about today with all the digital subscriptions that people have? How much are you paying? If you start looking at the auto giving, what's coming out to say, hey, is that really what I still need? I think many of us can find that there are areas in our budget that can be tightened up with the goal, not just to spend that money, but to say every dime I make, I'm going to put toward this debt, paying off those credit cards and taking it step by step, putting together a plan. And that's where I think it's important, Jody, to talk to somebody who really can help you prioritize how to deal with the creditors in your life. I hope that helps a little bit. You're not alone. All right. We got another call coming in here. Question from Arizona. Go right ahead.
Hello. My name is Bobby, and I'm calling regarding a question towards husband and wife and child. How can I communicate to my wife? I feel that I'm being separated and the child is coming first before me. And we've had these communications before and it led to arguments. So I would like to know what is a better way to bring this up and how I feel without starting an argument or having her get angry.
Yeah. Boy, I hear your heart, Bobby. This was a question that was left here on my comment line because I would like to ask, is this a second marriage? Are you a stepfather in this case, or is this your child together? Because sometimes that can make a difference in terms of attitude and parenting and so on. But I would say there's something powerful with a mother's bond with a child. When our children were born, you know, understandably, my wife Donna had to make those kids a priority. And so I had to back off and I had to, well, not back off, I have to be involved. It's not her responsibility alone. And that's true here. I would encourage you, Bobby, and to really see that maybe this isn't a parenting issue as much as it is more of a marriage issue, that you can sit down with your wife and say, honey, listen, this is big change for me too. I got the baby in the house and I see you paying a lot of attention. And frankly, it makes me a little jealous or I feel left out or I'm not getting the attention I used to. And I understand that, but it's a time I'm going through. Can we talk about this? What's something I can do? I don't want this to become, I don't want the baby to become a competitive point in our marriage. So how can I help? How can we work together? How can we put a schedule together that works for us as parents doing this together and also time for us alone? Because I would say, Bobby, and you know this, there's going to be a day where that little baby is going to grow up and say, love you, Dad, love you, Mom, but I'm out of here, right? And I'm gone. Give me my share and I'm gone. And then you're going to have to look at each other and say, what do we have left in this relationship? And so being intentional in that regard is really a powerful and important thing to do, all right? And I hope it's something that you will do.
We believe that every person was intentionally made in the image of a loving and intentional God, made with purpose, made for a future, made with destiny, and with the hope of a life of spiritual peace and freedom. Do you believe that? The scripture teaches that every one of us have been made with a purpose. Each of us has a destiny. God has a purpose for you and me to be on this planet. He made us uniquely different with our own DNA, with our own look, with our own passions, with our own interest. And as He empowers our life, things change. And we believe that every person was intentionally made in the image of a loving God.
Yeah. And that's, not only do we believe it, we see it in Scripture. That's a reality. I just want to say a thanks to those of you who are supporting us. You allow us to create content like you just heard. We do things in print. We got a new book coming out on anxiety. We do the audio that goes out on our podcast. It goes out around the world through our radio broadcast. And your prayers and your financial support allow me and my team here to do what we do. And boy, are we conservative when we talk about money. Because we don't borrow money. We use what comes in, goes back out, impacting people for Christ. And by the way, I'm not asking you to do what we don't do. We support the ministry, and we just want you to be a part of the team with us. Would you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And boy, thank you so much for your support.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I understand and hear that you're talking about being a single parent, and you talk about being consistent and what happens if a child is, you know, with discipline, what happens with a child if they say, well, I can do this at mom's or I can do this at dad's. But what is some advice in an instance where the parent is deceased and the child is saying, if mommy was here or if daddy was here, I could do that, or they would let me do that. What is a good response for a child that's in dealing with grief and holding them to being accountable and responsible? Thank you so much for your time and all that you do.
Oh, boy, you're welcome. It's kind of like shadow boxing, isn't it, with a deceased parent? I would encourage you to acknowledge that when they say that. Say, well, we don't know, do we? But I do know this. You know, dad loved you a lot. Or your mom loved you a lot and would want to do the best. And that's why we're going to do our best here too. And this is the way I think we should do it, and then move on. In other words, don't get caught and allow that to become a point where the child can use that against you. It becomes a power play for them. Don't allow that. Acknowledge it and move on. Speaking of moving on, we got to go. Dr. Randy here for the team. God bless you. Thanks for being part of Intentional Living. We'll see you next time right here from our center in Tucson.